Ohio, are you on?
I'm on a trek to trust the Trinity. What about you in Wisconsin?
Same. Yeah.
Good.
We'll call good. It. Yeah, that we can do that. That's fine. That sounds good.
So let me ask you a question, and this kind of relates, but it's going to go a different direction. Have you ever asked the question, can God really be this good?
I have, for me, it's usually related to my wife and kids. And when I have moments in with my kids that I think my heart's just going to bust, not break, but bust, yeah. You know, because there's just like so much amazingness in the everyday of being with them, hanging out with them, seeing how they see the world, and why in the world do I get to do that? And there's some other people who are much more worthy than me that don't.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I would say I definitely fall in that category a lot with that.
Well, I mean, I think there's also when you're in a situation like that and you're watching your kids and you're just filled with joy and love. You sometimes ask, is this how God views me? Is it possible that he views me in the same way? Mm-hmm. And because I like you, sometimes the kids will be over. My kids are all adults, and the grandkids come over, and I'll just sit there and just watch. Mm-hmm. And I'm just filled with incredible joy, you know. Mm-hmm. And I think, is this how God views me? And then I start to fall for all the lies that come in. No, you're not that good enough, you know. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what it is. I think there's a lot of people who ask the question, can God really love me? You know, or how can God love me? He knows me. I see myself in the mirror. How could God really love me? How could he care about me? And, you know, I've been thinking about this question, Josh, and it brought to mind this prophet that a lot of people don't talk about. It's one of the minor prophets. And it's a story that confuses a lot of people because God gives a very strange demand to one of these prophets. And I'm going to read you from the first chapter of the book of Hosea. It said, when the Lord began to speak through Hosea, the Lord said to him, go marry a promiscuous woman and have children with her, for, like an adulterous wife, this land is guilty of unfaithfulness to the Lord. So he married Gomer, daughter of Diblaim. I'll just use that pronunciation because it doesn't matter. Well, and yeah, she conceived and bore him a son. You know, I thank God that he did not give me that request, that direction.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
It's an odd story.
I feel like in that situation, he's going to take all the blame.
The blame. Is that?
I
very
apologize. Good.
Very, very creative way to pronounce the city there, buddy.
And then Rick did the show on his own.
It's interesting, though. I mean, when I first time I picked up the book of Hosea and started reading this, I thought, oh, man, what is this, a porn chapter in the Bible? <You know? laughs> But as you continue to read, you realize that Gomer and Hosea had two more children. And she had two sons and a daughter. And then it seems she went back to her previous life, or at least to a previous lover. Now, and over the years, I guess I've heard quite a few sermons about don't be like Gomer. Gomer is a bad, you know, she's just a horrible person, and God was testing Hosea and blah, blah, blah. But then I've heard some good sermons about that, because people read past the first chapter.
That's important, yeah. Especially in a story like that. I wouldn't be like, oh, well, there it is. And then...
Yeah, I know. Yeah. This one context has meaning.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's primarily a story about that God is comparing this relationship that Hosea and Gomer have to his relationship with Israel.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, talking about how they have rejected him and how they've turned adulterous, but through it all, he remained faithful and constant in his love. Mm-hmm. And, And as you read this, you find this even more interesting in chapter 3. And I'd like to read this from Eugene Peterson's The Message translation, just because I liked it. And it stays true. It says, "Then God ordered me, start all over. Love your wife again, your wife who's in bed with her latest boyfriend, your cheating wife. Love her the way I, God, love the Israelite people, even as they flirt and party with every god that takes their fancy. And I did it. I paid good money to get her back. It cost me the price of a slave. And then I told her, from now on, you're living with me. No more whoring, no more sleeping around. You're living with me, and I'm living with you." Now, I chose that particular translation, Josh, because I think that answers a question that I'm going to ask you. So is this story about a rebellious woman who just wanted to do what she wanted to do, regardless of the consequences? Or is this a story about a woman who is struggling with her identity?
Mm-hmm.
You know, struggling to figure out who she is and feeling unworthy of Hosea's love.
Right. And it's interesting to me, like, you hear sermons about, like, how bad Gomer is or whatever.
Yeah.
And you're like, yeah, I mean, we established that from the beginning. Like, she's a hooker. That's her job. She's going to have some psychological baggage, and it's going to come out. You know, like, you're right. I mean, what it is a story of Hosea and my reflection, the story of God and Israel.
Yeah. It's just fascinating to me because, I think about all the lies that she must have been hearing, you know, and we hear these lies all the time. Because this is what happened to Israel, God brings them out of Egypt and they're going across the land. And of course, you know, there's a whole struggle there, only 40 years of it, but you know, just a little bit of struggle and some little problems.
A few decades here and there, you know?
Yeah, but they get to the promised land and then it's like they get to this point where they suddenly realize, well, I wonder if he still loves me. I wonder if he still cares. I haven't heard from him in a while. And they start going after other gods that looked attractive and they start trying to appease other people. And in the effort to appease other people, they accept their gods. And it just goes back and forth and back and forth. The whole story of Israel, you see God saying, come back, come back, come back. Even when he takes them into captivity, his whole goal is to bring them back. And but they fell for the lies, and I think about that. I think the enemy is always throwing lies to us, and here's a few of them. Why do you think you deserve this good life?
Mm-hmm.
You don't. Who are you trying to fool? You're not a good Christian. That person sitting next to you is a good Christian. You're just fake. God doesn't really love you. He just feels sorry for you. You aren't worthy. You aren't good enough for his forgiveness. Why don't you just quit trying and go back to where you were comfortable?
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of think that's what happened to Gomer.
Mm-hmm.
I think she fell for these lies and she felt unworthy of Hosea's love. And we have to acknowledge he did love her, because it's clear he did, because God said, go show your love to your wife again.
Well, and I think for me, like one of Satan's well-worn tools with me is cynicism. You know, like why trust the process? Why trust that this will hold together anyway?
You know,
kind of like just screw it. You know, it never works. At the end of the day, this relationship or this new project you're getting in on or this ministry thing or whatever, just, you know, it's all broken in the end. Why bother? Go watch Netflix and, you know.
I'm going to help this person for a while. They're going to go right back to it. So why even bother with it?
Why even bother with it? Yeah, might as well go eat worms, sort of.
And coupled with that, with other conversations we've had where you've said, man, I don't feel, why did God give me this blessing? Why didn't he give it to somebody else? What makes me worthy of this blessing? And we go to that route as well. You know, why here's an example. Why do I live in this country and have so many freedoms and so many other Christians live where they live and they go through all kinds of trials? Yeah. You know, what makes me special? And God is not saying, you're not special, dude. I am.
Yeah.
But I love you.
Right.
You know? And that's the whole thing. And I think, I don't know, I think this whole phrase, go love your wife again, shows that I think God is making it very clear. Look, I have always loved you. So I think the book of Hosea is a story of God's love. It's not about Gomer, and it's not about Hosea. It's about God. Mm. He believes in us regardless of what we believe about ourselves. And whether we feel we're worthy or unworthy or forgiven or unforgiven, or that anything's worth it. Mm. Because, I mean, part of that cynicism that you share, I've experienced as well, because I think some of that comes when we think we're actually doing it.
Right.
And, you know.
Absolutely.
Anyway, right. I think the book of Hosea says, God's telling you, I can believe in you because of who I am. Mm. So it's like Paul emphasizing over and over again in his letters, it's easy to forget who we are when we forget whose we are. And I think that's a key phrase. And I think that's what happened to Gomer. Gomer forgot who she was when she forgot whose she was. She was the wife of Hosea, but she at some point in time didn't feel worthy, and so she left. But he told her, you are worthy. You are mine. There, no more of this. You have value. I want to spend the rest of my life with you. And I think that's what God is saying to Israel and, of course, to you and me. So God's continually reminding us, it's not so much about who we are, it's about whose we are.
Pax Humana.
Cheers.